The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thanks for joining me today for our broadcast, and it is going to be played on Monday, August 17th, 2020. Joining me today is Cindy Leandro from the Human Resources here in Warwick. Thank you so much for joining me today, Cindy. It's always nice not to just talk to myself.
Thanks for having me.
In previous broadcasts, we had Megan McGordy from the district office and Mr. James Japp from the district office. So it's great again, and I appreciate you giving up a Saturday here to be with me. A lot to talk about. We thought today we would really focus more, of course, again, on the reopening of schools, but a little bit more on health and safety. So there's a lot in store for this week. So I'll take you through that a little bit for our listeners. You know, there's many avenues to keep informed on how our school district is taking the precautions to reopen safely over the next coming weeks. One of them that we've added recently are town hall meetings. So I had some conversations with the PTA council here in Warwick a few weeks back. We were going to schedule a couple. Then we said, well, we might as well schedule more with the expectation that each district would do three. We said, you know, let's make them more specific to the various topics and interests of our parents and students. So I'll take our listeners quickly through the schedule, and then we'll shift over to health and safety. We have some updates from a lot, actually, from Orange County Department of Health and Dr. Gelman. So we have some many questions answered as we take our guidance from the Department of Health for the topics we're talking about today. But first, our upcoming virtual town hall. So again, they're virtual, they're online, and the information's all posted on our website. Actually, the PTA Council set it up. They're using Zoom, and they'll be facilitating these sessions with us. So Monday at 6:30 p.m. It's the high school, the in-person model at the high school, the hybrid in-person model. So that's from 6:30 to 7:30 Monday, the first town hall. Tuesday, so that's Monday, August 18th. Tuesday, August 17th, excuse me. Monday, August 17th. Tuesday, August 18th is the second town hall. It's for Park Avenue Elementary School at 6:30 or for Sanfordville Elementary School at 6:30. And again, the topic is the in-person model, the hybrid in-person model. Then on Wednesday, we'll have our fourth town hall, which will be the middle school's in-person model. So by Wednesday, we would have gone through all our hybrid models, our in-person models, for those, at least for the two elementary schools and the middle school. But of course, I keep on forgetting our new satellite elementary school, not new for any longtime listeners here at WTBQ, Pine Island Elementary School, but new for many of us. So I'll finish the schedule next week. On Friday, August 21st, we'll have a town hall on distance learning, and that will be held on Friday. And of course, we have the Wednesday, August 26th is the town hall for Pine Island. And I think what's happening, I'll have to look this up at one of the breaks. I printed out all the meetings from our site, but I'm missing the fifth town hall. So our fifth town hall is on the distance learning at the elementary, and our sixth is the distance learning on the secondary. So go onto our website, check it out. You have to go there anyway to get the Zoom information, the phone number, or the link, and then you'll see each event listed. But I believe the fifth town hall is also on Friday, the 21st, and I think it's before the secondary model there. So that is the upcoming town halls. The PTA Council's been working with us, gathering questions, and it's so interesting. You know, we've got probably over 60 questions and answers on our site, but there's just so many questions and so many different opinions on this topic. So it'll be good to continue to have the dialogue and be specific to those topics on a given date. So the questions that the PTA is gathering, they share with me, range from attendance to clubs to more COVID cleaning and mask and, you know, you name it, anything you can think of, outdoor spaces, the program structure, the remote academy, really goes on and on. And so looking forward to that and thanking everyone who's been participating, organizing that and from the PTA Council. I think a lot to discuss on this broadcast regarding the, you know, the health and safety of our students. You know, the past several months, you know, have shown us all that here in, you know, in Warwick, the perseverance, the strong ethic of care that folks have, and you know, while new challenges are confronting us daily and likely more curveballs on the way, I know we're going to emerge united for our children. The start of the school year is always a memorable time. Our students, you know, reconnect with old friends and form new ones. And with the long summer days behind us, it's time to teach, it's time to learn, it's time to experiment, it's time to play in our beloved schools. Of course, for this school year, it requires us to take several measures and many sacrifices to promote the safety of our school community and to mitigate the risk associated with COVID-19. So when we'll kick off the year, there'll be changes and alterations in our schools. That's inevitable. Still, it is our priority to do everything possible to support our school community so that we can, in fact, get these schools open. And as we prepare to return to school, we know folks have many questions. We hope to continue to answer those throughout the week. And, you know, we're learning more about the coronavirus daily. You know, the situation is very fluid, so we ask for your continued patience and flexibility as we monitor this complex and really rapidly changing environment. You know, we all want the same thing. You know, the teachers that I speak to, the parents that I speak to, the students that I interact with, they want to return, many of them, to in-person school and school activities, of course, as safely as possible in a manner that gives everyone peace of mind. To accomplish this goal means we must all work together. To remain open this fall, we must control the spread of this virus. If we cannot keep the infection rate at a responsible, you know, level, according to these guidelines set by the governor, we'll likely return to remote instruction. In fact, if you take a look around Orange County right now, outside of very small districts that are pretty much the size of one of our schools, there may be one other district at this point that even plans on kicking off in person. And this, you know, because it's complex, it's hard, it's very challenging work. We've been doing a lot of planning and hard work behind the scenes. We've been doing as much communication as we can get, you know, trying to get an idea of what folks' preferences would be based on the options that we're able to provide. And so we are moving forward with our plan. So we do ask that, you know, to this end, that we all have to shoulder a measure of the burden and adhere to the strict health and safety guidelines that we'll share today. Please support our efforts in regards to physical distancing and wearing masks. Remember, physical distancing, and we'll talk about later in the broadcast, is a big part of our plan. You know, none of us like the hybrid model. None of us like students coming into school every other day. We want kids coming in every day. But a district with 3,600 students cannot have all 3,600 students come in daily and have them separated 6 feet and all the physical distancing requirements that we'll go over. So we do need everyone's help. So the reopening of schools has garnered much attention and certainly continues to evoke strong emotions and strong opinions on how best to reopen. And that makes sense. You know, we all love our children very much. And of course, throughout our process here, it quickly became apparent that there's no one perfect solution that exists. That is why these school districts are, you know, recommending these models or proposing these models that none of us are crazy about, because there's really no perfect solution. And, you know, here in Warwick, we're about 20% of families have decided to do remote instruction. That is allowing us to reopen with the physical distancing requirements that are necessary and keep our class sizes at levels that are safe. You know, we are also opening a closed elementary school to make all this happen, and we can talk about that during the throughout the broadcast as well, if time permits, but we'll certainly do so when we have our town hall later in the future with Pine Island. And despite all of our efforts and intentions, we must all face the reality that most medical experts are predicting a second wave of COVID-19 for the fall. So we've got to, I really ask all families to consider that as you do your planning for your family and childcare. And it's just very, 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 very unfortunate. So when we return, we'll shift over to some of those safety guidelines that we are all focused on here at the district and give you an update on what we learned from the Department of Health. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
It's no secret that people are keeping their vehicles longer and driving them further than ever before. That's why at Leocadus Ford, every new and certified pre-owned vehicle we sell includes a lifetime and unlimited mileage powertrain warranty. Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, we have them all. Any dealership can offer you 0%. Any dealership can talk about their great selection. But only Leocadus Ford can offer you the Cadus Advantage. As long as you own your vehicle, we have you covered. Engine, turbocharger, transmission, transfer case, and the drive system. And looking for service? Let our state-of-the-art service department take care of you with old-time values. With our tire price guarantee, we guarantee you the best price around. Need some time to pay? No problem. Take up to 6 months with the Ford service card. Every vehicle is sanitized both before and after we work on it. Cars really do cost less at Cadus. Leo Cadus Ford. Quality you can trust. Warwick, New York.
If your car has been damaged by some of the recent hailstorms we've had in our area, time to call the Dent Man. Whether from hail or a door ding, shopping cart dent, fender dimple, the neighbor's kid's baseball, or you parked under a chestnut or acorn tree, the Dent Man will make your vehicle look like new. And complete repairs can be done without damaging your paint or finish. With over 30 years of experience and the highest quality workmanship, the Dent Man guarantees all his work. Call for your free estimate, 877-DENT-MAN.
Hi, this is Deb Major of Xylophone, a nonprofit theater arts program for children and adults with special needs. Xylophone offers workshops such as dancing, art, karaoke, drum programs, theater performance, recording, and music and movement, to name a few. Xylophone offers a variety of birthday party packages in a magical and musical environment. If you know of a child or adult who would flourish in this creative environment, visit xylophone.org for more information.
Tune in every Saturday at 11 a.m. for Free Speech with Stephen Kattar and Jay Westerveld, where you can voice your opinion, express your ideas, comment, or make suggestions on the topic du jour, right here on Radio Worth Listening to.
WTVQ. Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you're listening to Your Schools. You know, Cindy, I think I just spoke for 10 minutes straight and didn't even give you a chance to say hello. So say hello to our listeners.
Hello, listeners. You did give me a chance. You just forgot.
I forgot. I'm getting old, and I'm my mind's slipping. You know, I dropped my, I have two boys. I dropped the older one off at the JFK this morning. Today's Saturday, the 15th. We're recording this from Monday, the 17th. And so I woke up 4 a.m, I got on the JFK, and there he is flying off to college. So I understand the emotion around all this with parents. This is scary times, and talk to him about wearing a mask and the social distancing, and the school has a lot of safeguards in place, and he's promising to follow all those. But with all that, we're nervous, and I know you have, school. Both of us have school-age children. So it's on our mind. That's for sure. And I was just saying before the break, and I want to make this point to our listeners before we pivot over to the Orange County Department of Health guidelines. Most are telling me, most medical experts, that there's a strong likelihood that the infection rate is going to rise in our region and our community. So we really need to a plan accordingly. So hopefully it won't. Hopefully we won't be a second wave, as many are predicting. But they're also, I think it's important to recognize, and we're going to talk a lot about this during the broadcast, confirmed cases will likely occur in our schools. We're reopening our schools during a pandemic. The infection rate is very low right now. Now is the time to reopen our schools. That's why we've been doing the planning we've been doing, because if we don't reopen now, I'm not quite sure when we're going to reopen if this infection rate starts to rise. So confirmed cases will likely occur in our schools, and on a moment's notice, we could be closing a classroom, we could be closing a school building, a wing of a building. So, you know, our hearts go out to everyone, our children, our families, as our faculty and staff and administration wrestle along with you with this new normal. And we're remaining optimistic for a better tomorrow. But with that said, you know, we are committed to following the Department of Health guidelines and making this school year as best and memorable as we can for our children. So, you know, Cindy, maybe you could begin by taking us through, you know, when we talk about physical, you know, distancing and it being a key part of our plan, talk to us about that a little bit. What is social distancing in a school environment?
So as we're all aware, physical distancing and social distancing are hugely important in terms of the effects of starting our school year and maintaining our best approach to health and safety with respect to the COVID-19. We did a lot of planning involving where our students sitting. Their desks, for example, are going to be in shared spaces, but they should be 6 feet apart. Unless, of course, there's a core activity that necessitates a shorter distance, but by all means, 6 feet of distance is going to be maintained as the norm. Students and employees will not be able to congregate in common areas, so you won't see bunching of people, groupings. There's going to be new circulation routes that are established through signage and floor markings to also ensure safe social distancing, which I'm sure we've all seen things like this in our supermarkets where there's arrows drawn on the floor. Part of that is now being brought into our school hallways. And as well as the children, we're going to be maintaining that all of the employees should maintain the 6 foot distancing as much as possible from each other, and that people need to keep their masks on. A face covering must be worn. And anytime the distance between persons is less than 6 feet, the mask is an absolute necessity.
Yeah, and you know, I understand that you'll watch CNN or the news, and there'll be some schools that are making that optional around the country. Even here in this county, I'm hearing that there's some districts that may have the mask optional. We're going to follow the Orange County Department of Health's guidelines for schools and New York State Department of Health guidelines, and masks are going to be worn at all times. Yes, there'll be breaks. Yes, when we'll talk about that during the town halls and hopefully in greater detail. There'll be mask breaks. We'll get outside more where the mask can be removed as long as folks are separated. But that is a non-negotiable, and it's a hard notion to really, you know, wrap yourself around in terms of young children wearing masks. I understand that. But we really need our families, our parents, to help us and support us in that endeavor so we can use the science and the facts and we can keep students safe and faculty and staff safe. So please, and we'll do our best to get some more information out and strategies and ways to encourage it. But
yes, and our medical professionals who have joined us in our reopening plans, Dr. Gelman specifically, has emphasized the importance of always wearing that mask. Mm-hmm. So other ideas that we've come up with involving social distancing and physical distancing, splitting classes will become the norm with students from the same class scheduled in one or two learning spaces in the building, so that desks can be placed 6 feet apart. So you won't be seeing classrooms with 25 students in a room anymore. You will not be seeing large school assemblies. Often you would kick off the first week of school, there'd be an assembly, all fifth graders, all fourth graders. We will not be doing that because large assemblies are not permitted at this time. We're going to try to hold some classes in outdoor spaces. We're going to look at areas like the gym, the library, auditoriums, cafeterias, if possible. How can these spaces be used to maximize our social distancing when possible? What are we going to do with larger space areas for physical education and music? Well, they may be offered differently this year, depending on what students are doing, what the class schedules look like, what instruments are being played, etc. So this is truly the year of being flexible and being responsive and making the most of our spaces that we have within all of our buildings.
Absolutely. And with Labor Day approaching, you know, we have on our website the post-travel quarantine guidelines that the New York State Department of Health has out. And we're going to ask folks to cooperate with us and keep us informed there as well. So we need you to notify us if that applies to your family. Check out the post-travel quarantine guidelines that are on our site, or you can, or they're on the New York State Department of Health. But we really got to continue to work together there as part of our strategy as well. And maybe you could share with us a little bit more about what we're looking for with support from families, not only the considering their travel plans and letting us know, but also their role at home before the school day.
Sure. I know a lot of families I've talked to this week happen to be going to Maine. That seems to be a very popular spot. I feel like everyone's packing up the car and driving to Maine this summer. So what else can families do? Well, parents are going to play a huge role in terms of helping us with health and temperature checks. So every morning, beginning with staff as well, people will complete an electronic health check form each morning and stay home if they report symptoms are present. So if you wake up in the morning and a child happens to have a fever, as a parent, you would call and notify the school right away and keep your child home. You would report their absence and then fill out an electronic health attestation for your child. And more information with details will be forthcoming regarding that platform for health and temperature checks. But besides relying on parents as our first screening, school entrances are also going to be equipped with walk-through temperature screening machines. So students will walk through, similar to how you walk through a device at an airport, and these machines will be as a second level checking temperatures for us. And hopefully that is a double-edged system of keeping people with fevers out of our school.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the guidelines that we have from the New York State Department of Health. So schools are required to adhere to the New York State Department of Health guidance. So let me begin with that. So sometimes there's folks making assumptions that we're, you know, picking and choosing, or you know, no, we don't claim to be medical experts in the school district. We do consult with medical experts. We are required to adhere to New York State Department of Health guidelines. So when we hear of a positive COVID-19 case, we're going to immediately notify the Orange County Department of Health. If a student, a faculty member, a staff member, or any when in our schools test positive for COVID-19.
And I believe we can report that. There's a phone number. It's 24 hours a day. It's 7 days a week.
Absolutely. So the Orange County Department of Health is going to maintain a list with contact information for the two-point contact individuals within each school. So that's going to be a school administrator, and it's going to be our medical, well, a nurse or head nurse. So that's an important piece. And, you know, we contact tracing is going to be a very important component that we're going to help use to reduce the spread of COVID-19. So, effective contact tracing is going to be a joint effort, which will require the school in providing staff and student list schedules and other information to identify exposed individuals. So hence it is imperative for us to confidentially maintain sign-ins or logins with full contact information, name, address, you know, phone number, emails, etc., of all the individuals that we have in our facilities, and working with the Department of Health when there is a when there's information to share, when we're notified of someone who tested positive.
Right. So record keeping has become even more important than it always has been in the past, just even in terms of who's in a room for a day.
Absolutely. And I've been asked, well, contact, you know, tracers, or that being the school district, release the name of positive individuals to their contacts. And well, no, we're you know, the contact tracers will tell potentially infected persons that they've been exposed, but we're not going to disclose the identity of the person of whom they were exposed. So that's important to keep in mind. So let's continue to take us through the Department of Health guidelines when we return. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
You have big dreams, big ideas, big kids. Wait, when did they get so big? You have big plans, big things to do, so we built you a bigger Subaru. Subaru listened and delivered the perfect SUV to accommodate everyone and everything in the new three-row 2020 Subaru Ascent. The Subaru brand was awarded the 2019 KBB 5-Year Cost to Own Award. With an EPA estimated highway fuel economy of 27 miles per gallon for 2020 Subaru Ascent and Ascent Premium models with standard equipment. Actual mileage may vary. Visit WayneSubaru.com for a test drive. Maroney's, the original Hudson Valley Harley-Davidson dealer, is always here by your side. Maroney's has been customizing, selling, and racing Fast Hogs since 1956, and Maroney's always puts your health and safety first. At Maroney's, they know that being a biker is more than riding a bike, it's your heart and soul. And they also know that home is where your Harley is, and your Harley's at Maroney's on Route 300 in New Windsor. Call for an appointment to see and test drive your next Harley Davidson. Visit fasthog.com and let's ride.
Clark Howard.
Here's the problem. Somewhere between 50 and 75% of us only go to a single lender. Try multiple people. Try to get them to match the best offer you found.
Clark Howard, weekdays from 1 till 3.
WTBQ Weather.
Lots of sunshine for this afternoon. We do have an approaching cold front, but the good news is that the storms do hold off until about after 3 o'clock or so, mostly through the evening rush. Highs for today, meanwhile, pretty nice, up to about 80 degrees. Still a chance of showers and storms through this evening. Could get a gusty storm in there or two as well. And then that'll clear out towards midnight and overnight. We're down to about 60 degrees, so cool. And then Tuesday, sunshine, low 80s. Nice on Wednesday, sunny and around 80. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Chris Castellano.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. If you're just tuning in, today's broadcast, like the last dozen or half dozen, focusing on reopening our schools. Cindy Leandro from Human Resources in the Warwick Valley Central School District is here. It's her turn, so we've been coming in on Saturdays, and different folks have been helping me with the broadcast. It can be a little odd just to sort of speak, talk to yourself. And we've been sharing with our listeners a little bit about the Orange County Department of Health's guidance that they're providing schools. So let's continue with that. You know, individuals who are exposed to someone with COVID-19, they're going to be required to quarantine for 14 days from the day they were last exposed. And, you know, the Orange County Department of Health is emphasizing that a negative test does not release an individual from quarantine. So that 14 days, I think most of us know that now from what happened in the spring, what's happening nationally, and even still in our area, but at a much lesser rate. That's a big part of the strategy. And again, our infection rate's low. I'm just being a realist here and understanding that when you're opening up a school with 3,600 students and over 500 staff, that there's going to be times where we are going to be confronted with potentially exposure, and just taking you through what that's going to look like working with the Department of Health.
And let me ask you off of that question, when should an exposed individual get tested for COVID-19?
Yeah, according to the Department of Health, testing after exposure is a decision between that individual and their primary care provider. The exposed individual must contact their primary care provider to test, schedule that testing. And exposed individuals must remain on quarantine until being tested and must immediately return to quarantine following that testing. So if a person tests positive, they'll be placed in isolation for a period determined by the Orange County Department of Health. Even if the test is negative, the individual must continue to quarantine for that full 14 days.
So even if they're feeling fine, I feel fine, they should still go through the full 14 days.
Absolutely. And, we're not, there's a little bit of misinformation out there. We're not actually giving the test here in school. We're going to focus on educating the students and trying to keep them safe. But students, families, faculty, staff, they're encouraged to contact their primary care providers first to schedule a testing in order to get the care that they need. Also, if you check out the Orange County Department of Health's website, you'll see other locations where you can be tested. I think if you you'll see that there is either there's apps you can access, and even when you're on the Palisades and you first get on the Palisades heading south, the you'll see a location there near
17.
Anthony Wayne.
Yes.
Yep. That may be. That's one area where there's a no out-of-pocket charge where folks have to make an appointment. I drove by there today heading to the airport. You have to make an appointment, but I believe there is no out-of-pocket charge for that COVID-19 tests that are conducted at those state-run facilities.
And I believe there's also a COVID hotline with a 1-800 number. If you can't locate a test site, you can call and they will provide you with options.
Yeah, so, an individual who's tested positive must obtain written clearance from their primary care provider. And that has to comply with CDC guidance for the return to school of students, faculty, and staff following illness or diagnosis of a confirmed case. So you can check out those guidelines online, but that's how we're going to handle that.
Right. So basically, they have to be cleared to return to school safely.
Yeah, it's not going to be as simple as just saying, hey, it's my,
14 days is over. They actually need the doctor's note clearing.
Yes, absolutely. So, those are probably, it seems some of that information is probably old news for folks, but I think it's good to review, where we have been and where we're headed in terms of some of these guidelines.
Yes, I think it is important, though, just one more time to say as we close out summer and we're in our last 3 weeks of August, that people should check out Governor Cuomo's travel advisory, because you want to make sure that you are aware of which states are safe to be in and which are not.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about contact tracing, because we've received some questions there that the Department of Health is helping us answer. In the event there's a large exposure. So again, we've got, we have Pine Island, we have Sanfordville Park, the middle school and high school, 3,600 students. There's at some point there's a chance of exposure, that's for sure. Working with the Department of Health becomes important for us. And, the Orange County Department of Health is working in conjunction with the New York State Education Department on contact tracing. And that is the partnership there that we're going to be helping us tracking cases and contacts. So please understand that that's the relationship, and that's where, that's who we're going to be, working with. So maybe it's best to go through some of these, think about some of the areas that we had been talking about with the Department of Health and others, and some questions we've got regarding contacts and household contacts. So it's for example, let's talk about maybe siblings.
Sure. Let me ask you, if a child tests positive and has a sibling in the school, should the school keep the sibling out of school as well? What would you say would be an answer from the Orange County Health Department?
So that answer is definitely yes. So unless the siblings reside in a separate household, assuming they're in the same household, the sibling must be placed on quarantine, which would mean that the sibling should not attend school during the required period of quarantine.
Okay. Let's take another question or scenario. If a student or staff member is home on quarantine and then develop symptoms. Can you explain how that impacts attendance to school? What does it mean for the siblings that may have been continuing to go to school? And can you take us through this scenario a little bit?
Yeah, so if a student or staff tests positive, their household members will likely be considered close contacts. And they will also need to quarantine. So students or staff testing positive will require isolation for a minimum of 10 days. And of course, they'll be working with their doctors, et cetera. If someone has a quarantine and has a family member in isolation, you know, some folks are asking, is it 10 days? Is it 14 days? How does that work? Well, determining the quarantine periods can vary depending on the particular situation. The specifics will be determined when there's a conversation with the Orange County Department of Health.
So they're going to go case-by-case basis with us, in other words?
They are, you know. So let's take a scenario. You can walk us through, Cindy. So close contact with someone who has COVID-19, but I don't have any further close contact with. So I have that, you know, I have close contact with someone, but no further close contact. How is that going to operate?
How that would operate would be your last day of quarantine would be 14 days from the date you had the close contact. So you would take the date of last close contact with the person, add 14 days to that, and that would be the end of your quarantine. So you really have to last throughout that entire 14-day period.
Yes. Another scenario, if I live with someone who has COVID-19, a roommate, a partner, a family member, and that person has isolated by staying in a separate bedroom. I have no close contact with the person since they're isolated. Your last day of quarantine is 14 days from when that person with COVID-19 began that home isolation. So, you know, that's a scenario where you're in close contact with someone who has COVID-19 and you live with that person but cannot avoid further close contact. Then again, your last day of quarantine is 14 days from when the person with COVID-19 began home isolation.
Right.
And you know, your doctors are always going to take you through those scenarios, but I think it's good to begin to think this way and to understand some of the challenges that we're, you know, certainly we're going to be likely confronted with. And, you know, just a little bit about, you know, when we talk about, for example, the hybrid model, and you know, some questions we'll get, like for example, why not take a day off to start the week or in the middle of the week or the end of the week to clean? Well, we're going to deep clean every day. Our schedule, while far from ideal, I understand there's many reasons behind it, and sometimes folks don't understand that we do work in partnership with the local BOCES, and we send many students to BOCES, particularly whether it's a career in tech high school or other special programs, and we're following that similar schedule. At the elementary division, you know, and we're going to talk about cohorting in a moment, at the elementary division, that sort of happens more naturally. You have that generalist that teaches you throughout the day. There may be some interaction with other adults, but it's not like the secondary environment where many high schools around the country have 9 periods or 8 periods. Our high school is going to have only 4 classes offered a day. So we're going to have 75-minute periods to try to mimic that a little bit so students still have choice in their course selections, but...
And is that because by reducing the number of exchanges or classes, you're limiting the opportunity for people to be in various rooms throughout the day, thereby having a safer approach to the physical distancing? Or
yeah, absolutely. You know, we're gonna, again, we have to keep our eye on who an inventory rather of who's in every room and. But we're minimizing those transitions. We can be more mindful of when kids are in the hallway. You know, it's a plan's only as good as implementation. So we have a lot of work to do with training staff and et cetera. But we're really looking to avoid those situations where you're watching the news and you see a high school down south and the hallways are packed, right? So by having less transitions to manage, having longer blocks of time, and being more mindful of those transitions and that traffic, we can minimize risk, you know, wearing masks, of course,
And actually, it would help us with, should the need be to do tracing, it's much easier to trace 4 transitions than 9.
Absolutely. So when we return, we'll continue to review some of these health guidelines. Thanks for listening. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
Sam's Meat has been supplying restaurants and shops with the highest quality local and sustainably sourced prime and choice wholesale meat, steaks, poultry, seafood, and much more for over 20 years. Whether you're a small family butcher shop or a busy steakhouse, expect A1 service and the finest products available. Call Sam's at 845-651-MEAT or visit the store right off Route 17A in Florida, New York for the highest quality products at unbeatable prices.
Weather affects us on a daily basis. The local forecast is the first thing people check before they start their day. Well, what happens when life and property have already been impacted by the weather? Over the past 30 years, our staff of AMS Certified Consulting Meteorologists, led by myself, Tommy Else, and company president Frank Lombardo, have produced thousands of expert weather-related reports for the insurance and legal industry. Cases we have worked on consist of slip and falls, floods, lightning strikes, wind damage, hail, and many more. If your case involves personal injury, property damage, loss of business, workman's comp, or any other matter related to weather, we are your experts. For more information, visit pastweatherreport.com or call us at 908-867-8350. Mention our radio ad for a free initial analysis with a forensic meteorologist. When you think about weather, think WeatherWorks. WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you're listening to Your Schools. Joining me today is Mrs. Cindy Leandro from our Human Resources, and she drew the short straw. Saturday, there's been a colleague coming in, and we've been just trying to answer questions. If you're just tuning in, our virtual town halls will take place this week. Check out our website, because we have 7 of them, and they're targeted either to a topic or and or a level or building, trying to make them as worthwhile as possible. The PTA Council is organizing them, gathering questions, and we'll answer those questions the best we can. We'll have various stakeholders on the call. And, you know, throughout the broadcast, we've been going over some of the guidelines we've been receiving from the Department of Health, some scenarios that we've been, you know, discussing with them, some guidance documents that they've given us. Thanks for tuning in. So let's continue. You know, just some basic ideas that we should probably touch upon again. Physical distancing is a big piece of our strategy. Wearing masks, you know, and I think that there's a lot of folks that are, you know, that's garnered a lot of attention. Should masks be worn on a bus or in schools? Yes. And Warwick Valley Central School District I would think the vast, vast majority of school districts in New York State, when they do open, proper use of mask is recommended for all individuals over the age of 2 while on the bus and in school. So that is the recommendation that we're getting from the Department of Health, the mandate, and we are going to adhere to that. The gold standard of disease prevention, of course, includes physical distancing along with the use of mask and proper hand hygiene. So we're asking families to support us with this endeavor and to understand that we know it's going to be a challenge, but it is non-negotiable for us. We are targeting opening our schools. We're on schedule to open our schools. So there are schools that have not received their data back from their residents, their choices, and schools that have faced other challenges. It's not that the infection rate is rising at a level where we don't feel we can open school. The infection rate is very low in New York. It's not the infection rate we're watching when we turn on TV and see different schools around the country that are in crisis. Not to undermine that it is a very serious challenge here as well. Nevertheless, the infection rate is low. I don't I would be surprised if it's going to get any lower from now and until, you know, throughout the fall. So we are scheduled to reopen our schools, but some of these strategies must be implemented immediately, and we need everyone's cooperation and help. So face coverings worn by students not only protect other students, but also protect teachers, aides, other staff who work in the building. So it is a non-negotiable. I understand there's some other schools that are making it an option for students or parents. That's not going to be the case here in Warwick. So please help us with that. And, you know, the Orange County Department of Health has a few important reminders about that. And, you know, it's important to properly store, clean, and the mask. So individuals should not touch the, you know, should be handled them with care, especially any potential contaminated surfaces. And, you know, as we adjust the mask and tie the loops, et cetera, that not just grabbing a mask and putting it on and having it off the floor, et cetera, seems like common sense, but.
And don't share a mask.
No, absolutely not.
And remember your hand washing. I mean, I think we've come to a point now where hand washing has never been such an important part of everybody's daily routine. Several times a day, mm-hmm. having that bottle of sanitizer nearby, using it. These are just all new protocols that have really become part of a way of life.
Yeah, and you know, washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. My father, who's in his 80s, he sings Happy Birthday twice, he told me, so I'm guessing he must sing it not too quickly. Having that hand sanitizer with a minimum of 60% alcohol, and you know, it's not that it's at times we're receiving phone calls from folks looking for, you know, different exceptions to be made, and we really do need everyone's cooperation here in order to keep you safe.
And I know that we recently put something on the website along with hand washing and hand sanitizing, that now would be a great time if you have little children at home. Do they know what 6 feet apart looks like? Well, maybe you go out in your driveway and you take mm-hmm. some chalk and you draw 6 feet and start getting your young ones familiar with about how much space that feels like. Practice
it. Yeah, no, we were looking at, we're putting some signage up at Pine Island, and we were reminding ourselves that our clientele there may not know how to read. In fact, many of them will not. So we have to use more visuals, of course, and we'll do that. You know, we have, for a district our size at this point, we're in a good place in our planning, in our preparation. So we feel that we can continue to move forward with targeting the start of school for September. You know, a few folks will reference with me, or a parent will ask, well, gee, I heard about, you know, a school district that has everybody come in every day. And there are those around the state that do. I know of one on Long Island. I can imagine some locally here that have 400, 500, 600 students and or 700 students. And when you're around those numbers, you can put up some temporary classrooms. You know, you've already got your pretty small system. But when you have 3,600 students, or imagine some of the districts that are considerably larger than ours, it becomes very, very challenging to accomplish that. So we appreciate everyone understanding that it's a hurdle. Typically, a district our size can offer a little more of a robust course offerings and has other advantages over a smaller school. And some smaller schools have some advantages over a larger school. This is one of those times that certainly they have an advantage in terms of getting more students in more regularly. But our guiding principles all along as we did the reopening process was provide a safe learning and working environment. Try to maximize family choice. And some folks may say, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean choice? My student can only come every other day if they're in grades 3 to 12. Well, let's take a few steps back. We are offering the, we call it the Distance Learning Academy, but the virtual instruction to all students. And that's not easy to pull off from a staffing end, from designing curriculum, from the technology. So we have that in place. Then if you're at the secondary level and you're participating in that hybrid, you're actually, where our goal is to have you tune right into the classroom. I know we're going to talk about this week at the town hall, but you're not going to find many districts doing that. It requires a significant rich technology in a district to have the bandwidth and the facilities to do that. And so it's a pretty darn strong, I know I'm biased, but it's a pretty strong offering that's out there. And we're going to make the best of this, and we're going to continue to move students' learning forward. And I think the more we learn from some of the positive experiences we had in the spring in terms of remote instruction, and we learn from some of our mistakes, and it was, we're building up in flight. We've had months to prepare, and we have been. So I think our listeners should definitely keep that in mind. So a safe learning environment, maximizing the choice. We have about 19%, I believe, of folks have elected to do remote instruction. We want to provide a high level of instruction and continue to aim in that direction and do as much communication as we can do. Check out a microsite we have on our website. If you haven't looked at it recently, we keep on updating the questions and the content. These radio broadcasts hopefully add some value. 7 town halls next week, questions submitted to the PTA Council, and different articles that we'll post. And please, I ask our listeners, social media can be wonderful and entertaining and at times informative, but there are some folks that may be relying a little bit too much on social media to get their information about our reopening plans, because I'll get questions asked to me, and it could be a post that someone posted some inaccurate information. Not that anyone's doing it on purpose, but there's a lot to digest here. And again, hopefully the town halls will help with that, with some of the information that is out there. And so a lot to digest, Cindy, right? Certainly.
Certainly a lot to digest. And just going back to the basics for a minute, we spoke earlier in the broadcast about the temperature checks that will be done at home, followed by the second round of temperature checks when the students arrive and walk through the device. What should parents be looking for in the morning before sending them in? Just a basic question besides the fever. Some other information that you should be looking for in the morning is persistent dry cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing. Is your child feeling the chills, shaking with chills? Do they have body aches or pains, a headache, a persistent sore throat, a loss of taste or smell that is new, and gastrointestinal tract symptoms, which sometimes present just in children? And the same for our staff. If you are screening in the morning and feel any of these things, these are warning signs that you should definitely report and not come in. So just a back to basics overview on what we should be looking for.
Certainly. So we have about a minute or so, a reminder that this year we're kicking off the year with our in-school model, our hybrid model, in-person model, every other day, 5 days a week, following the AB. So your student will be in every other day. Maximizes instructional time. Yes, it makes it a little more challenging with calendaring and scheduling. It certainly does. But by some of the models that are out there nationally, by taking a day off a week where the student's not participating in the in-person, there's substantial amount of time that's lost, as you can imagine, closing school for in-person instruction for a full day a week. But we did shorten the day. It is shortened by about 40 minutes. So, keep that in mind. We have those drop-off and pickup times on our website. So hopefully that's informative as well. The principals will be joining us and other staff at these open houses for questions to be asked that may be a little more procedural or specific to the building. So please continue to tune in and attend those town halls or any other questions. There's a reopening at wvcsd.org email address. We are doing our best to answer every email or even call some folks. Again, if we miss an email or it's redundant or we thought we answered it and it's still unclear, write to us at that address. We'll get back to you to answer any questions.